music, news, talk, and sports. WQKR Portland, 1270 AM and 101.7 FM.
And now,
while the hosts and guests on this program are encouraged to express their views, they do not necessarily reflect those of the ownership or management of WQKR.
Good afternoon, Sumner County. Welcome to The Loyal Opposition, a show based on the American ideal that nations like ours benefit when government reflects a diversity of voices and makes space for dissent. That's why we're here, to air the voice of dissent to the supermajority's policies and ideas. I am Len Asante, and alongside me is...
Michelle Hutton.
And we are...
The Loyal Opposition.
It is 5:01 p.m. in Portland, 56 degrees and cloudy out the side of the...
It was a nice day today.
It was a nice day, but it's not going to be for much longer.
No, it's going to be cold, but it's not going to be as cold as it was last weekend.
We're going down to 46 tonight, but tomorrow a high of 61, but rain coming. And with a low after the front passes of 31. So yeah, it's getting to feel a little bit more like winter again, I guess. Huh? Right. All right, on this day in history, folks, after popular demand, this day in history segment is back. We got three items for you today. One of my favorite moments all time in history, actually, is today, on this day in history in 1903, the Wright brothers flew the first
The
first powered airplane flew on this day in 1903, Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Okay, in this year, on this date in 1777, France became the first nation to recognize the brand new United States of America. Okay, and of course, that led them to enter the war on our side and helped us win the revolution. And on this day, in a year that I didn't write down, but was 1890-something, the very first issue of, Michelle, you might be interested, I don't know, the very first issue of Vogue was published.
Oh.
Vogue, so.
1890s?
Been around for a while. Let me see if I have...
Well, as, you know, we're... Just even being in the radio, like any media outlet that has lasted since 1890 needs to be applauded.
Exactly. I'm 1892. I got it right here. 1892.
That's crazy.
So 100 years from now, when WQKR is still on the air, I hope they remember us, huh? People can't control their laughter here, okay? All right, folks, we've got a great show for you tonight. Our crack Portland investigative team, a.k.a. Michelle, is going to start us off with something. And then we've got our main guest after the first break, Courtney Rogers, former political candidate, former activist-type person, and someone who's devoting her energy towards good in a different way.
I've been so excited
for you to be here.
I told Lynn, I was like, oh, we need some cocoa. She's just a breath of fresh air. You're like, even going to your website, it was just like amazing.
So we'll get to Coco in just a little bit. But first, hey, Michelle, what you got going on?
Okay, so what I wanted to talk about, for a minute, I'm going to put on my local Sumner County Schools parent hat. Most of y'all know I have two kids. I have one in an elementary school and one in middle school. And I want to kind of facilitate a community conversation and ask reasonable questions that are centered around processes, safety, and communication, specifically within the Transportation Department of Sumner County Schools. There have been some incidents and allegations against my kid's bus driver. She was temporarily actually removed from their route and then placed back on the route. She was removed because of parent complaints, and we were under the impression that she would not actually under the I'll let Sherry tell that part in just a second. But anyways, I have a guest with me today, and she is a friend of mine and also a fellow parent. And together we have also started having conversations with other local parents who have had similar situations with this bus driver with us. And we are all pretty much getting crickets from the school system. And so I want to reiterate, you know, this conversation is about student safety and effective communication from the school district. We're seeking to understand how these systems work and what happens when they don't, because everyone is going through the proper channels to make complaints and everyone is being dismissed. But I also want to say that this is not an attack on an individual. These are instances and experiences that our families and our children have had, but it doesn't mean we're attacking that person. We're just trying to protect the kids. So, Sherry, welcome. Sherry is a first-time WQKR guest. So, really quick, your son had an incident with the bus driver, and it struck you to call the school department, and that ultimately did end in the removal of the bus driver temporarily.
Correct.
Right? Yep. But then she was placed back on the route. They sent letters home saying that the bus was going to be back on the route, but they failed to put the driver's name. And then when I called and emailed asking if it was going to be this driver, crickets. I still have not gotten an answer, and it is this driver. So Sherry was able to have some conversations, and then she ultimately has ended up starting a petition. So why don't you start, just start at the beginning real quick. We'll take a few minutes.
So the objective of this petition is to protect children by demanding immediate accountability and corrective action from the school district regarding documented pattern of unsafe and inappropriate behavior by this school bus driver. I'm a parent, not an activist. I'm not someone looking for attention. I'm speaking out because there has been a repeated long-standing pattern of unsafe and inappropriate behavior by the same bus driver. This is not one isolated incident or one upset family. It involves many children, many parents, and multiple years.
Yeah, the petition has over 250 signatures now.
Yes. So what's been happening is children have reported being yelled at, intimidated, and physically grabbed. My own child was grabbed and yelled at directly in the face. Several students have stated they believe the bus cameras were turned off at times, which is extremely concerning. I personally witnessed and recorded the bus running a red light while transporting children.
Okay, see, when you say grabbed, do you mean like physically put hands on?
Yes, she did.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Are bus drivers allowed to do that?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Nope. or maybe so.
So, while this isn't just a misunderstanding, the same issues occurred on bus 785 when she was not on our route. Instead of removing the driver, she was reassigned to bus 785, where the same behavior began again with a new group of kids. Parents from both routes have now come forward. We are also hearing from parents who dealt with this same driver years ago and felt ignored. Even I feel ignored by transportation. It's 2025. This behavior is not acceptable.
Yeah.
How old are your kids?
Mine are 8 and 12.
Mine are 10 and 8.
10 and, okay, so these are elementary school kids.
Yeah, correct.
About. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and so when you first raised concerns, what response did you receive and how quickly? Initially, they were responsive.
Right.
Right?
She responded and told me that she would look into it. And
when you say she's talking about the Department of Transportation.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Transportation told me that they would look into it. And after I emailed her back, initially she dismissed me. She was trying to dismiss me. And at that point, I emailed her again, and I got no response.
Yeah, and so whenever I... So when she was not on our route, there was a morning that my son was at the bus stop, and the new bus driver just drove right past him. So I emailed, and I was like, look, we still don't know what's going on. We've got this new bus. Can you just tell me what time I need to have my kids where? What time is the middle school route? What time is the elementary route? She responded, and she said, but bus 728 will be back on the route next week. And I knew that that was the old bus with the old driver. When I responded asking if she would be that driver on the bus, I have since emailed 3 times and left 2 voice messages to 2 different people and have gotten 0 response. So my emails have gotten longer and more thorough. And obviously I now, you know, and have Sherry on the radio, because I think the most concerning thing is the lack of communication.
Were your kids affected in any way?
Yeah, there was an incident. It happened last year, and in hindsight, I've had a lot of incidents that I were kind of dismissing my kids as being whiny and being like, you know what, you're not going to like everyone in life. There's always a mean teacher or someone you don't like their rules or whatever. But at the end of the day, I was explaining to him, she's just trying to keep y'all safe. Follow the rules. If she don't want keychains on your backpacks, whatever it is, just do it, you know, and just. But one day they both got off the bus, and Lila was fighting mad. But apparently this bus driver frequently brakes checks the kids when they are getting too rowdy. And there's been multiple parents now posting that their kids say this. And when she did it, Cooper hit his head on the window and he started crying. And Lila is the one that got off the bus immediately, word vomited all this to me. She was 11 at the time, 11-year-old daughter. And she said that the bus driver stopped the bus, went back to the bus, told him he was not allowed to cry on the bus, and went back to driving and like stopped everything she was doing. And I still dismissed it.
And brake checking, for clarification, is when they slam on the brakes when they don't have to,
mm-hmm.
right. just to kind of get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or like slam them into the back of the seat, you know?
Right. And Cooper hit his head on the window one of these days.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I did not report it because, again, I thought Lila's calling it brake checking. Like, does she even know what brake checking is? She's in fifth grade. Like, somebody on the bus has said that, and she's just repeating it. And I just, again, let it go. And the next straw for me was early in this semester when I had the bus driver. This is third year she's been a bus driver. I have her cell phone. I called her to see what the middle school route was because Lila would then be different from Cooper. And when she told me that Lila was going to have to ride the entire elementary route, stay on while she picked up all the middle school kids, and then she would get to school 10 minutes before the bell rang. That means getting on the bus at 6:30 and or getting on the bus at 6:25 and getting there at 6:35 or 7:35 when her class starts at 7:45. And I just was questioning that. I wasn't yelling. I wasn't upset. She hung up on me. And so that's the first time I reached out to transportation. And then they were just like, oh, well, Miss Barry. I was like, I understand. Like, it's a lot to deal with. I'm just trying to get some answers. And again, let it go. And then when Sherry came forward and has now gone to the SRO and she's, you know, filed reports and all of the things. And now all these parents are having these same stories and are posting them.
Yeah, my youngest son was extremely scared to get back on the bus. He told me that he did not want to return to school if he would have to be riding the bus with this driver.
Okay, so what can we do about this? Tell us about this petition. Can other people sign?
Yes, they can. It's on change.org.
And we can post the link.
Yeah, we can post the link on our website and social. Absolutely. What's the purpose of the, what's the petition trying to do again?
Basically remove her.
Yeah. I mean, this has gone on for so long that kids have normalized this behavior for years.
Yeah, they just dismiss it. And, like, it's not okay for them to be full of fear and anxiety riding to and from school, period. And even if, you know, no technical rules have been broken or whatever, at what point do you not listen to the children when they're crying out for help?
I think that the hands on the kid, that's got to be a rule.
Yeah, and right? But unfortunately, it's like his word against hers. Right, there's no proof, you know. And there, you know, there's a lot. There's some speculation of health problems with the driver and other things. And to be clear, I mean, I understand adults that are involved with our kids in the school system deal with real life issues just like everyone else, right? Mm-hmm. Parents simply want to know how the system is adjusting to protect our kids when those situations happen. And a teacher or a bus driver or administrator needs some extra help or time off or whatever that may be. And I'm just not seeing the school system adapting at all.
Or responding. I mean, the concern I'm seeing here is a lack of communication, right?
That's what sent me over the edge.
Right.
I just want to be taken serious. I want my kids to be heard.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, it sounds like we might have another candidate for school board here. Huh?
All right, folks. She would make a great school board candidate.
We're going to take our first break right now. When we come back, we will have more with...
Thank you, Sherry, for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR.
WQKR. Now open in Portland, the new Mexican restaurant, Los Potrillos Mexican Restaurant and Grill, located at 105 North Broadway, open Monday through Thursday from 10:45 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night, Friday and Saturday from 10:45 a.m. to 11 p.m., and Sunday from 10:45 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. We offer senior and military discounts. Lunch is at 11 to 3 p.m. We offer some of the best Mexican food in Portland with quesa burritos, taco de carnitas, fajitas, nachos, and lots of other wonderful menu items. Gift certificates are available, and we do catering. You can make reservations for birthdays and office parties by calling 615-475-3380. Los Potrillos Mexican Restaurant and Grill, located at 105 North Broadway, here in Portland.
I have a question for you. Do you like great music? Music from singer-songwriters? Maybe bluegrass, folk, blues, classic country, rockabilly, or even early rock and roll? Then I invite you to a special show called Americana Country. I'm your host, Jay Preston. It's Sunday afternoon, 1 till 4 p.m. We play a whole mess of great music. Americana and roots music, right here on WQKR. Join me, Jay Preston, Sunday afternoons for Americana Country, 1 till 4 p.m., right here on WQKR.
At the law office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. We have a team committed to helping you navigate the court system, whether you've been accused of a crime or you're going through a messy divorce and custody. Call our team to help you navigate this system. We are here to protect your rights, to demand your rights, to enforce your rights. 615-604-6263. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
Sumner Regional Medical Center believes that every person has the right to dignity, respect, and compassion as we journey through the cycle of life. That's why they have created High Point Hospice, to assure that our loved ones will receive the necessary support to allow us to do so. At High Point Hospice, our team of doctors, nurses, hospice aides, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers will walk by your side, offering support, providing symptom management, and answering questions to bring comfort and peace to you and your loved ones. For more information about High Point Hospice, call 328-6690 or visit them online at highpointhospice.com. That's 328-6690 or visit them online at highpointhospice.com.
Thank you. yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Loyal Opposition here on WQKR. I'm your host, Lenny Santi, and alongside me is
Michelle Harbin.
And together we are
the Loyal Opposition. That was like an intense first 15 minutes.
That was an intense
I don't know
first
that it's ever been like that on the show in the first 15
very
minutes.
Very dramatic.
Yeah, usually we kind of ease into this,
right?
Don't we?
But no, we're just doing it backwards today because our next guest is going to lighten the
I guess so.
Mood.
In fact, we're going to hit two quick news stories before we get to Courtney and continuing our trend of doing it backwards today. we've got a state level issue to comment on, and we've got a national level issue to comment on. A new state audit delivered a harsh assessment of Tennessee's Department of Children's Services today, identifying 8 major failures that put vulnerable children at risk. Auditors found DCS repeatedly failed to investigate child abuse and neglect cases in a timely and thorough manner, echoing problems flagged in a similar audit in 2022. These lapses have fueled 2 class action lawsuits, one representing foster children and another representing youth and juvenile detention, underscoring the systemic issues in oversight, staffing, and accountability. And this has been going on for years, folks, for years. And Governor Bill Lee has so far...
Underfunded, understaffed.
On a national level, speaking of underfunding, the U.S. economy shed 39,000 jobs in the last 2 months, and the unemployment rate has hit a 4-year high. The United States shed 105,000 in October, added 64,000 in November, meaning a total loss of 39,000 over those 2 months. The unemployment rate also rose to 4.6%, the highest since September of 2011. So when the president goes on TV tonight and tells us how
higher even than COVID.
Highest since September 2021. So when the president gets on TV tonight and tells us how everything is going great with the economy, just keep that in mind. All right, folks. But enough of the bad news. Let's talk about some good news. Sitting next
to
us.
For real, though.
We've got Courtney Rogers with us. Courtney, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh.
Welcome.
Yay. I'm so happy to be here.
Michelle's been real excited.
I really am. I didn't know what you've been up to. And then when I went down the rabbit hole of your website and like all your socials.
I've been up to a lot.
I was like, oh, yeah. My God. This is like, she's been up to some good. So. I can't wait to hear all about it.
So go ahead. Ask her all about
it. Let's do it. So me and Lynn both met you circa 2018, probably.
Yeah. I entered the political arena in 16.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go.
So right around that time.
Yep. And it was 18 when he and I ran for county commission. So that's definitely when I met you.
Yep.
So tell us what you've been doing since then. What office did you run for?
So I ran for state representative in Williamson County against Glenn Cassada.
Mm.
Y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was one of the 25 women who was recruited statewide to run. And I had no idea what I was getting into, but I said yes because I like to do big, bold, brave things. And
thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody's got to do it, right?
That's
so,
right.
Myself and Holly McCall were the first 2 Dems to run in Williamson County. I think it was 15 years. And then I ran
to run at all?
At all. We did not have Democrats to vote for in Williamson County for 15 years.
Wow.
Before
that's
we
like
ran.
Sumner County level.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even think, but I think we had some people on the ballot.
Yeah.
We didn't. And so people were voting for the least worst Republican, which messes up our data, right?
Well,
so
very bad, so.
Yeah, so Holly and I ran in 16. I think we both knew we were going to lose. Like, I had to have a tiny, tiny speck of hope to do the
hard work.
That's
how I was in 2018. Yeah. I was super hopeful, and the night before I woke up like, oh, it's still possible.
Anything could happen.
Go for the underdog, you know?
Yeah, I got 28% of the vote. Like,
yeah.
I got my booty whooped.
Yeah, that's about where we were, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We were all around that 30.
70-30 is pretty much the split across the board, across the state.
But good news. So then fast forward, I decide to run again in 22. So in 16, I was recruited.
My name had been floated because my involvement with the Williamson County School Board. Do y'all remember Williamson Strong?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Sure, absolutely.
Right? So I was friends with the Williamson Strong people. My daughter entered kindergarten in Williamson County the year that all of that first round of, I will say, the school board infiltration happened. And so I woke up. Because a lot of times people don't pay attention until it directly impacts you.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, like for me, until I was a homeowner and had kids, I wasn't invested in city level politics.
I mean, humans, we just kind of pay attention to our own lives and then go, oh, wait, this is impacting me. So I, speaking of petitions, I got a petition gathered for Susan Curley. Do you remember? She was like one of the first really negative
K-E-R-L-E-Y?
She just really was not there for the right reasons. And so I was like, okay, she, because Williamson County has such a low voter turnout, she got a couple thousand votes to win. And so I was like, whatever that number was, it was 2,000 something. I was like, I'm going to get that number plus one in a petition and ask her to resign. And so I went to a school board meeting, looked her right in the face and said, you are not welcome here. You are not serving children. You need to resign. And not long after that, she did. She's gone. But she's off grifting somewhere else. So that is that's what got me involved in local.
What a win.
Yeah. Yeah. But I didn't realize that was going to be this catalyst for in 16, when we have Hillary Clinton at the top of the ticket, there's this movement across the state to get women very specifically to run for office against Republican incumbents, because the number of incumbents that run every year without opposition is astounding. And it still is. It's getting better. And so that's what got me to run in 16. And then in 22, I decided to run for county commission in Williamson County. And I really was excited about that. By that point, I knew what to do, what not to do. I knew which consultants.
You had helped. You had ran your own campaign.
I'd run my own campaign. I was the vice chair of the party, of the Williamson County Democratic Party. I had really formed like beautiful relationships with people who were genuinely trying to make a change. I hired an incredible friend to run my campaign, and I thought I was going to win. And I lost by 217 votes. Yep. It was in District 10, which is the bluest, by far the bluest area of Williamson County. And unfortunately, the Democrats did not get out. And right. Yeah, I mean, right. And
of course.
Yeah. Well, it was an off year. It was a midterm year.
It was a midterm year. And people are just not super excited about local politics, right? And so, I mean, we worked really, really hard. And I will say, I was so proud. I raised $40,000 for a county commission race, and I spent most of my money.
I was doing good when I was seven.
I raised almost $100,000 as a first time candidate in 2016.
Wow. Well, you have to stay rep.
Yeah. I know a lot of people. I love a lot of people, and I have no problem asking for money, especially if it's really truly going to hopefully impact the world in a positive way. So I raised $40,000 for a county commission race, which is stupid. You should not have to do that, right? But most of what I raised the money for was to pay my staff, because Democrats, we don't pay our people. We are just known for asking everyone to volunteer, to work for free, to do all the things, and then we get burned out.
It's grassroots.
Grassroots. No, raise money and pay your people. So I paid my team. I paid my volunteers. And we had a ground game. It was so cool. We actually had the head of the TNDP. He came out, Hendral Remus, when he was a great guy. He was going to knock some doors with me. And I was like, great. Did not plan this. It totally looked like I did. We knock on a door. A woman answers the door and she goes, oh my God, somebody from your team just called me. And I was like, yes, it's working. Like my ground game was so good. We had phone bankers at the same time as we had door knockers. And it was just, I mean, we really thought it was going to be it. But no, I lost. And to be totally transparent, that's probably the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah, because do we need to take a break and then we can see what doors were opened with this loss? Okay, we'll take a break, guys, and we will be back with more of The Loyal Opposition with Courtney Rogers.
WQKR.
Hello, Middle Tennessee. We are proud to introduce Artemis CPA, a 100% woman-owned certified public accounting firm that delivers financial freedom to business owners and individuals alike. Time is the most precious commodity we have, and Artemis CPA takes away the burden of your finances so that you can have more time to do all the things you love. Whether it's taxes, valuation, accounting, bookkeeping, or consulting, Artemis CPA handles it all. Their ability to work virtually also helps provide their clients with the best service. For more information and to schedule a consultation, give Artemis CPA a call at 931-243-2724. Again, that number is 931-243-2724. Tell Artemis CPA you heard all about them on The Loyal Opposition.
Why choose the Farmers Bank? We've been serving our community since 1912, and we still manage our business locally. This means that when you need banking services or a loan, we don't let a computer or someone thousands of miles away make our decisions. We make decisions locally. We visit with you in person. We shake your hand. We get to know you and your family. The Farmers Bank is a community bank built on trust and quality customer care and service. Visit us at any of our 11 area locations or online at thefarmersbank.net to see the Farmers Bank difference. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Volunteer State Bank is now Volunteer Bank. We're proud to introduce a new look for a name you've trusted for 48 years. This change reflects our deep roots in Middle Tennessee and our commitment to the place that we call home. It's how we're evolving to better serve you while staying true to the values that built us. Whatever your next step may be, we volunteer to help you take it. Volunteer Bank, the home state advantage. Learn more at volunteer.bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Marcus,
Chip, Raquel,
Raima,
Shirley,
Andrew,
Steve,
Wade,
Tisha,
Mary,
Tyson,
Jeff.
More than 10,000 people have joined the Green Power Switch program from TVA and your local power company, creating a growing movement to bring clean, green sources of renewable energy to our region. To learn more, contact your local power company or visit greenpowerswitch.com. After all, one person can make a difference. 10,000 can create a movement.
CEMC, Cumberland Electric Membership Corporation.
What kind of radio station do you want?
Mash the button till something good comes out.
It doesn't matter what you turn on.
That's why we're here.
On FM and AM, on the internet. You can't go anywhere and not be able to hear WQKR. In your car, at home, on the radio, on your MP3 player, or your laptop or cell phone.
That's what I wanted to hear.
WQKR.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling.
Welcome back, everyone. Listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR. We need to start off with a public service announcement. Are you ready, Roger? Hit it.
Oh, no, not yet.
No, not yet. Okay. While Roger's getting the public service announcement queued up, it is 5:33 p.m. and a lovely 54 degrees and cloudy outside in Portland. We're not on the phone. We're live with Courtney Rogers.
I know. She made the trek to see us in person.
I know. She came all the way up from Williamson County to see us. Love it when people come up and visit with us. And, well, Michelle, you were right in the middle of the big reveal. So
So let's go back. 2022, you lose the county commission race. What doors have opened for you since then?
Yeah, so the timing of that, as I learned, the timing of everything is divine.
Very much so.
Yep. My family, actually, right after I lost that election, we had a family health emergency that needed all of my attention. And so at the time, I was vice chair of the Williamson County Democratic Party, and I had to step away from everything. I was volunteering, I was consulting, I was doing a lot of work, and it was time for me to put all of my focus on my family. And so that's what I did. And part of that was also putting a lot of focus on myself.
Can't pour from an empty cup.
You cannot. You cannot. And I'm a very stubborn human. So it took a really big, scary thing happening to my family for me to realize, like, I have got to focus on myself. And so I did. I took time, the necessary time that it took, to really evaluate that I'd been the way that I'd been living my life. I let go of alcohol a few
years. In fight or flight?
I had been living in fight or flight. Mm-hmm. I'd been living in survival mode. And I had to come out of it. And so I started to heal, and I started to spend a lot of time being quiet. I got off of social media. I closed my Facebook account.
And you stepped away from alcohol?
I had stepped away from alcohol about 3 years before that, which the timing was there was great because I needed the clarity.
I took a 7-year hiatus.
Yeah, I won't go back to it. It does not serve me at all. Actually, I get to celebrate 6 years without alcohol next week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But in that time, I realized that I was capable of doing really, really hard work. And I did a lot of work on myself. And I went to go work for an agency. I thought, okay, this is it. I'm healthy. The family's healthy. Like everything that happened, we got the help we needed, and everyone is healthy and thriving. So I go to work for an agency. I've been in the tech space. I've been in the operations space. And I was there for about a year. And I just had this gut feeling, it is time to go out on your own. Like, go build the thing. And I was like, okay, what is the thing?
Yeah.
So May of this year, which we're still in 25, right? Yeah. So May of this year, 25 years to the day that I was commissioned as a naval officer, because I did start my career as a naval officer, I started my own consulting company, and I am guiding leaders to take better care of ourselves so that we take better care of our people. We are living in a system right now where leaders do not understand what it means to lead with authenticity, with vulnerability. We're living in a system right now where our leaders in the state of Tennessee and our country are leading from fear, right? And it's killing us. I mean, people are dying because of the way.
And they're banking on that fear.
They're banking on it. It's all about the bottom line. It's not about people, right? And I see an opportunity to come in and teach us how to do it better. I'm grateful for my career in the military, in the Navy. I learned a lot. At the age of 22, I'm on a guided missile destroyer in the middle of the Persian Gulf during Operation Enduring Freedom. If I made a bad call, people died, right? That is an intense.
Those are the ultimate consequences.
Ultimate. And my brain wasn't fully formed yet. I was 22 years old, right? And what I learned in the military is very specifically is you've got to take care of your people. Like, I could look at I had a division of 25 people. I could tell when somebody wasn't okay. And if they're not okay and they're on the midwatch and their mind is not doing their job, people could die. And so I have taken that motto with me. It was actually something my dad told me, who was also a naval officer. He served our country for 30 years. He swore me in, and you know, I swore me in and read my. It's not your rights. It sounds like I'm getting arrested.
the creed or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, and he said right before, he's like, if you always take care of your people, you'll be successful. And so I have started a consulting agency, and everything I do is based in care, C-A-R-E. So I start with clarity. Like, what the heck are we doing? Are we aligned? Do we even know what our common goal is here? A stands for authenticity. Humans have got to start showing up as our authentic selves. And that is what I realized I wasn't doing for so many years, which is why I was anxious, why I was depressed, why I went to alcohol to numb all.
And that encourages vulnerability, and we all know that vulnerability heals.
It absolutely heals. And if we have leaders that could just say, I don't know what I'm doing, I need help, because guess what? We are all human beings. None of us have all of the answers.
The older we get, the more you realize everybody's faking it until they make it.
Right? Like, nobody knows what we're doing. But we have this just lie that leaders are supposed to be powerful and take no prisoners, and I'm not gonna help you, and if you ask for help, you're a weak, you're filling
pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. And we've got this younger generation coming in. I'm raising a Gen Zer. She's 18. I'm a Gen Xer. Millennials and Gen Zers are not putting up with this. They have much higher standards when it comes to how they expect to be treated, especially in the workplace. And so I am.
And that comes from Gen X parents.
It does. Well, so we're the healers. Mm-hmm. Gen Xers are the healing generation, because we have access to therapy. We have access to the internet. Now we have access to AI. And we are kind of bridging. We're bridging the gap. And so I see this as my responsibility. I've done the work to heal myself. I want to help others heal. And we've got to heal how we lead in corporate America, in political America. So I see all of the chapters of my life leading up to this point. And so
I love that.
Yeah, and it's, oh, it's so.
It gives me the chills.
It's amazing.
To hear stories it's where amazing. Everything just, when you open yourself up to the creativity of the universe and let go of what the direct path is and just go with the flow.
I listened to my soul and she had been talking to me my whole life, but I was not listening. And I finally got to the point where I was like, no, this is my purpose. This is what I'm great at. My gift is really guiding people and sharing my story. I'm very open and honest and vulnerable. And my voice is my gift. And I'm doing a lot of keynote speaking. And I've been told over and over, and of course, being a politician and being, you've got to be ready at any point. Someone's going to ask you questions. You got to have your stump speech ready to go. I didn't realize how gifted of a speaker I really was until, honestly, my husband, we've been married 7 years. And he's a PR guy. He trains people to do media interviews all the time. And it was early on in our dating relationship, he came to see me speak somewhere. And he was like, okay, I'm not just saying this because, like, I love you. But you are so good at this. And because I trust him and love him, I was like, huh, all right, maybe this is something.
I'm sure Lynn can comment as a public speaking teacher. And, you know, I taught briefly. Lynn hired me to teach at Ball State in the comm department that – it is a gift. Not everyone has.
I just kind of thought everybody was comfortable in front of a mic, and that is just not the truth. So, I mean, ultimately, my goal is I will be a global keynote speaker on the power of self-love. Because when we fall in love with ourselves, we cannot be unkind to other humans. What we're witnessing is just self-hatred, lack of confidence, shame, guilt, all these leaders who are boisterous and hateful and the way that they behave, it's because they hate themselves. And so
and they're scared.
They're deathly afraid to lose what they think is their grip on power and what they
hate
don't understand.
And fear so closely related.
Absolutely.
So closely related.
And the thing is, there is so much for all of us. We don't have to cling to that. And those of us who have done the work to understand that, like, I don't see the world the way that leaders who lead with fear see it, but I used to. And so I have compassion for leaders who lead that way. I don't
agree with
that.
It's a sign of high emotional intelligence, you know, and yeah. I think that's what a lot of our leaders are lacking currently.
Totally.
There's like I told somebody the other day they had the emotional intelligence of a toad. Like,
hope it wasn't one of your customers.
No. No.
Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do, but I think we're ready. I think what's happening at the federal level has so many people pissed off, and it took something like this to happen to wake us up.
Yeah, you know, and that is the way we can kind of spin it and look at it, is that there had to be a tipping point. There always has to be a tipping point.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just see a future where we don't feel guilty when we take care of ourselves. We don't make excuses when we are not well, when we know when our people need our help. I talk a lot about crumb culture, and it's this culture that we've been conditioned to accept these little crumbs get sprinkled in front of us. So you go to work for a company and they're like, oh, we got pizza party Fridays and we'll pay for your yoga membership.
You can wear jeans.
Right. You get to wear casual. You can wear your polo on Friday. Well, those are perks. That's not culture. Culture is when you know you are safe enough to go to your boss and have a really hard conversation and you are not going to be fired because you are an emotional human being, right? And so I say it's time for us to destroy the system that's keeping us small and feeding us crumbs. I want the whole damn pie.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to want the whole damn pie. When we raise our standards.
And there's enough pie for everyone to have a whole
there's
pie.
So much pie, y'all. And any flavor you want, any kind of pie. We have to stop living with a scarcity mindset. Yes.
We aim higher, don't we? And therefore, we end up getting better leaders elected to office.
Right. Raise your standards. Like, mm-hmm. I am so done with mediocre leaders, and people keep voting for them. We just saw Afton Bain run the most incredible campaign, and I have known her for 12 years, right? What she did was unite us around hope, but also around really simple things like feeding kids.
Did you see your Substack yesterday?
Yes.
So good.
The self debrief was very good.
It was incredible. Very good.
We did a little Afton debrief on the show with Mark Brown last week.
Yeah.
And she really, I think she opened some eyes.
Well, yeah, and she, you know, her main, she opened it up by saying, Afton Trump, you know, Bane Trump voters now exist.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. They do. I actually have some data that the Williamson County Democratic Party chair shared with me. So in 2024, again, this is Williamson County, Tennessee. In 2024, Trump got 65% of the vote. Harris got 33% of the vote. So that was about a 32% difference. And in the and there was a shift to the left in this election, almost 10%.
Wow.
Williamson County shifted left almost 10% in this latest election. So you remember I said I almost won that county commission race. I was in District 10. That was the bluest district, and it's a little heart of Franklin. It's always been blue. It's been our one little blue spot. In this special election, we flipped four more polling locations blue. We have five in Williamson County.
So there's five blue precincts in Williamson County after Afton. That's amazing.
Yep,
that's
after fantastic. Afton. Yeah, it was that's huge. Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, what we saw, and I mean, I've been doing this a while. God, the energy was magnetic. And it's because we're just ready for authentic humans. We're ready for authentic humans who don't act like they know everything, who are willing to ask for help, who build a coalition, because that is how we move forward. We are so much more alike than we are different. And when you knock on someone's door and you have a meaningful conversation with them, that is how we fight the system. I've been saying this is not left versus right. This is top versus bottom. Like, this is literally, we are all being played against each other. The system wants us to fight each other so that we don't fight them. Yeah. I'm ready to fight the system.
That's exactly right. And that's even down to this school bus thing, right? I guarantee you of the 252 parents that have signed this petition, very few of them and myself see eye to eye politically.
Right.
But we're united over this issue.
Because it's your kiddos.
Yeah.
It's just like 75 to 80% of our country wants common sense gun control. Almost 80% of us are for this, but yet the system will not give us what we want.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
they are so afraid of being primaried because the NRA just pours money into them, and our babies are dying in school every single day. We're the only country that works this
way. But it's partly our fault, too, I think, because we keep voting for these people.
I don't.
Well, not me either, right?
That one poor girl I saw was at Parkland and then at Brown.
Yeah.
She was at both. She was present for both.
There were two students.
Yes, and the other
one. Two students who have been through two mass shootings. What is going on, America? Like, this is appalling. And this is why I say raise your standards. Raise your standards. We deserve so much better. And we've got to stop just voting for the party. We have to stop.
Well, and Afton gave so many people hope that their voice matters again. Because we see the same with turnout here in Sumner County.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the same pattern, sure.
Abysmal. It's fear. It's they're afraid of what their neighbors are going to think. And I'm like, who cares what your neighbor?
Well, and they don't need to know.
One thing they need to know is we have to take a break. Oh, yeah. But before we go, we have an important public service announcement from the President of the United States. Is that right, Roger? All right. And so, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to finish up. But first, an important message from the President of the United States.
I just had to pass an executive order to keep Melania from listening to the loyal opposition.
If you're on Medicare, here's exciting news. The Medicare annual enrollment period is just weeks away. Portland has a local trusted advisor who can help seniors sort through all the confusing aspects of Medicare, and there are a lot of changes in cost and services this year. Kyle Doris and Medicare Insurance Advisors can help you make sense out of all the plans and supplements. Best of all, the advice and service from Kyle and MIA doesn't cost you a penny. Give them a call at 615-325-0064 or visit Kyle at 621 South Broadway.
Volunteer State Bank is now Volunteer Bank. We're proud to introduce a new look for a name you've trusted for 48 years. This change reflects our deep roots in Middle Tennessee and our commitment to the place that we call home. It's how we're evolving to better serve you while staying true to the values that built us. Whatever your next step may be, we volunteer to help you take it. Volunteer Bank, the home state advantage. Learn more at volunteer.bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Wow, Lester. I never knew about this vault underneath the radio station. It sure is spooky down here. Yeah, it's like a mausoleum. Uh-oh, we're locked in. Hey, look at this. All these old radio programs. Jack Benny, the Lone Ranger, Abbott and Costello. Ooh, the Shadow. You know, I bet I can make a regular radio show out of all these old programs. Yeah, that's it. We could call it Morty's Radio Mausoleum. That's if we can ever get out of here.
Here's an important message from Portland Natural Gas. Most people think natural gas smells like rotten eggs. Actually, natural gas is odorless and colorless. Therefore, a chemical called captan is added to assist in detecting leaks. It's the captan that smells like rotten eggs, and it smells that way so a leak can be detected. Portland Natural Gas, looking out for your safety and providing cost-efficient heating and cooling for Portland residents.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR. I'm your co-host, Lynn Asante. Alongside me is Michelle Harbin, and we are speaking with Courtney Coco Rogers. And just so the FCC doesn't call, that was a joke at the end of the last segment there. You got to have a little fun in this business. Because politics is often a very sad topic.
In Tennessee, for sure.
So it's important that we have a little fun, especially during this holiday season. And folks, did you know that because of the upcoming holidays, this is our last show of 2025?
I feel so special.
Next week is
Christmas
Eve.
Yeah, you're the finale.
Yes.
And then the week after that is New Year's Eve. So our next show is not until January 7th. But hey, we've got already lining up some great guests for you.
My brother and Elizabeth will be here on the 7th.
That's right. That's right. That's who's coming. And why don't you tell us? Tell us.
Solo parent, my brother's longtime girlfriend, helped start a nonprofit. It's based in Williamson County called Solo Parent. And they're now a national organization. She's advocated for legislation and gone to D.C. and has done a lot of great work for single parents and creating community. So I'm excited to have her on and let everyone hear about solo.
That's
parents.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. I love when people solve or try to solve a problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we see that a lot with political candidates here who, you know, they run and they lose. But they still have the spirit of service.
and they often try to serve in other ways beyond electoral politics.
We often realize, oh, maybe I wasn't supposed to win and actually run for, like, actually exactly.
Maybe
be
my
in
strengths
office.
Lie elsewhere.
Yeah,
right?
And a lot of times there is a way to change policy that is not being a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And advocating and getting in front of the right people is another way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can often create as much, if not more, change because a lot of the red tape is removed, and you know we know how hard it is to even get a bill heard.
Yeah,
exactly. So there are multiple ways to enact positive change in the world, and which is why we have all sorts of different people coming on this show, right? I mean, I think the common denominator has got to be positive change, but there are a bunch of ways of doing that.
Yeah, and we have to believe that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to keep hope. We have to keep alive the hope in our hearts. And that's why even in 16, when I was really, really, really sure I wasn't going to win, I still had to have a shred
mm-hmm.
of hope that I could, right? And I really thought Afton was going to win. And I felt it deep in my heart. And I think I actually needed to feel that to continue to do the immense work that it takes to be a progressive human in Tennessee, right?
Mm-hmm.
But every time people run, we are moving the needle every time. So I got 27% of the vote in 16. Afton almost got 40% of the vote in 2025.
That's awesome.
That's huge.
That's awesome.
It's huge. And so we need people to run for office. We need people to volunteer to help people who are running for office.
Yeah, and like the technology makes it so easy these days to get involved, you know, phone banking. Like you can
text messaging,
like all that. You can give up just once you're in the system for a candidate, you can sit down and just make, you know, 15 minutes worth of calls.
We got so many postcards from all around the country for this campaign. It was really, really cool. Yeah. I love seeing young people get involved. I just sounded old. But I mean, Afton is, I think, 36. I consider her a young woman.
She definitely is. Politics, for sure.
She's a young woman with an old soul. That's what she is. But I think the younger generations, the more young people that get involved with politics and win. I mean, look at Justin Jones, look at Justin Pearson, right? They will hold us accountable, right? And I think we need more of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very hopeful. I tell all my Gen Z nieces and nephews. And then, of course, I have two Gen Alphas coming up. So,
Yeah. So there's hope for the future, right? Mm-hmm.
There is.
Lila wanted to come on and tell the story about the bus driver.
Bring her
on. And I was like, Courtney,
we are almost out of time. Final thoughts, closing comments?
How people can find you?
How people can find
you?
Yeah.
So my company is Coro Consulting. I go by Coco, so it's Courtney Rogers, but I go by Coco. It's coroconsulting.co. I have so many co's happening in my life. I don't spend a lot of time on social media. You can find me on LinkedIn. I do post on Instagram. I've decided to just use my personal brand. A couple times a week, I'm posting just short videos about taking care of yourself. And I write on Substack. I've got a lot of thoughts.
What's your Instagram handle?
It's at courtney.coco.rogers.
And it's Courtney, N-A-Y.
Courtenay, E-N-A-Y. Yes.
Courtenay.
Courtenay.coco.rogers.
We had some of that, actually. I had someone saying, you have Courtney Rogers coming on your show? Why? Because we had and there was another Courtney Rogers on the other side of the aisle in politics.
Oh.
Yep. She was actually a state rep when I was running for state rep, and she is an Air Force veteran, and I'm a Navy veteran, and it was very confusing to a lot of people.
Confusing.
But I'm Courtenay Coco Rogers, Navy veteran. Yeah, but I'm on Substack. I'm sharing a lot of information there, and I'm looking to get in front of audiences who are ready to do really hard work to show up for ourselves and change how we lead.
Yeah, well, you'll have to come talk to the Sumner Dems.
I'd love to. Yeah, I think the more people that are, if everybody does one small thing, imagine what happens, mm-hmm. rather than a bunch of us having to do all the things, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Just the few years I've been involved since 2016, watching the energy shift and the excitement build has been very exciting. The fact that I had like 6 yard signs for Democratic candidates this past election cycle was huge.
Yeah.
I took them all to the polling station and, you know, had my picture surrounded by Democratic candidates. It was you know, they, none of them won, but
times change. Just
they
give
do.
It time.
And you have to run to win. You cannot win if you don't run. So if
and
anyone is interested in running, just do it. Just do it. There are people that can help you do it.
Mm-hmm. And we've got the resources to get you started and to give you all the information you need right on our website. So visit us at theloyalopposition.online. And you can get started. Okay, folks, that is just about all the time we have
got. That's it for 2025.
Oh, my gosh. So listen, everyone, happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. For me, for Michelle, for Roger, for Courtney, and all of our guests, we're going to see you in 2026.
See you next year.
All right. Good night, everyone.